This is the sworn statement of Matthew Antrobus. Today's date is November the 6th, 2008. It's about 8:25 in the evening, and the statement is being taken at the Embassy Suites Hotel in Sacramento. Mr. Antrobus, would you acknowledge for the record you're aware I'm tape recording this interview?
Yes.
And you're aware that this is a sworn statement, and that when we get to the end of it, you'll be asked to swear or affirm that the statements you've made as commemorated on the tape are true and correct to the best of your knowledge and belief?
Right, yes.
Okay. I have introduced myself to Mr. Antrobus as Bill Branscombe, a private investigator employed by the law firm of Robert Bernhoft out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The law firm of Robert Bernhoft having an interest in the Troy Stratus case. Mr. Antrobus, when did you first come to know Troy Stratus?
It was just a few days after Christmas. A friend of mine worked for him and was going out of town.
A few days after Christmas of what year?
2006.
Okay.
A friend of mine had been working for him and just told me a little bit about the situation. You know, a big house, a lot of cars. He was just doing miscellaneous stuff and getting paid like $200 a day. I said, well, you know, let him know if he needs any help while you're out of town. You know, I'm not doing anything. I have a break from school, so I can help out at the house. So my first day was a couple days after Christmas, and I just helped take down decorations, organize some CDs, kind of do some miscellaneous stuff around the house.
Okay. Did there come a time when your employment became more formal?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure the date. It was maybe a few weeks after I had started. My friend Jake Bartlett, who I mentioned before, I think we were leaving in my car to go run an errand. Before we left, Troy said, "Hey, I like to make you both employed, give you, you know, each $1,000 a week for your work." And at the time, I was like, "Okay." I had just enrolled for classes, and school hadn't started yet. And I was like, "Well, I'll make $1,000 a week and take a semester off."
That's pretty good money for you,
right? Yeah, I think that's pretty good money for a big portion of the population. I mean, I've been married, you know, maybe 8 months or so, and I wasn't, you know, it was nice to make $1,000 a week. It's about, you know, it's $50,000 a year, so
okay,
it's pretty good.
Do you know who Nicole Murphy is?
I've never met Nicole Murphy. I know who she is just by the mere fact that she was married to Eddie Murphy. They were divorced. What I've heard from, I talked to her on the phone for maybe 3 minutes, but just from Troy saying, you know, Nicole Murphy was a friend of his, and mainly just that she was Eddie Murphy's ex-wife.
Was there anything going on between Troy and Nicole? Did they have any kind of financial dealings that you know anything about?
100%. That I know for sure, no.
Okay. Did Troy make any representations to you as far as there any financial dealings between them?
The only financial dealings that he said to us was that he paid her, you know, roughly $10 million for the house in Granite Bay, and that during the time that it was, soon after the divorce, I don't know how soon after it was, that he was financially supporting Nicole, helping pay her bills. Whenever she would call the house, I never really talked to her. I would just hand it off either to Troy or to Sherry. And the way that he made it sound is that he was a caring friend of Nicole, helping her through this hard time, paying bills and stuff like that.
What impression did you have about Troy's net worth?
Just from what he said, Troy had mentioned that it was a $1 billion game, the business that we were hired on to work for, that it was $1 billion, that he was worth, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, that, when he was younger, he was going to school down in Southern California. He had a friend whose father was a wealthy Middle Eastern person. He inherited some money. the father gave him some advice or told him that if he gave him that $25,000, he would invest it for him, and did it through AOL and then some oil company, and through that has earned hundreds of millions of dollars.
Okay. So the what you were seeing, he like have a nice house?
Yeah, he had a 17,000 square foot house with a guest house that was 3,000 square feet. He had a Lamborghini Gallardo, an Aston Martin Vanquish, a Rolls Royce Phantom, M5 BMW, Ford truck, a G-Wagon. Yeah.
The G-Wagon being
a Mercedes G-Wagon. Yeah. Right. And then in Florida, got a second G-Wagon delivered to him.
So everything you saw supported the idea that this was one very wealthy guy.
Right. That no one had ever heard of.
Yeah. Now, did there come a time when you became aware that the FBI had subpoenaed documents from him?
I wasn't. I don't know if I was in Florida at the time, or I was. Or at this time, I wasn't. I was temporarily fired because I probably got fired. Who knows how many times and got rehired 10 minutes later. I knew that they had come just from what Sherry had said. They were there waiting for, they're outside of the gate of the Granite Bay house and to talk to Sherry and Sam, and I think they went into the house as well. But yes, he, you know, I never saw the document of the subpoena, just from what I had heard from Sherry and Sam.
Had an interruption. We had a delivery at the hotel room. So you were aware that there had been a subpoena. At least that's what you were told, although you didn't see the document. Now, did you ever have any involvement with the selection process as far as the documents that were actually selected to be turned over to the government?
My involvement was before, so we had all of the documents. Troy hired an outside company to come and copy everything. One copy stayed here in Sacramento. Other copy was sent to Florida. At the time when I was in Florida, Troy was either, Adam was going through saying, all right, this is such and such document. Troy would say, no, that isn't a part of the subpoena. Or Troy was determining what he felt should be sent and what should not be sent. Sherry was on the other line with Adam. On occasion, we'd get to a document where Sherry felt that it was a part of the subpoena, because some of the stuff was really miscellaneous documents. And when we got to something that was important, Sherry would say, hey, Troy, you know, I think this is something that should be sent. I think this is important. This is a part of what the subpoena entails. And he would tell Sherry to, you know, shut up, Sherry. This is my stuff. Has nothing to do with you. I'll decide what I'm going to send and what I'm not going to send. They don't need to know this or they don't need to know that. And it was basically Troy saying what he was going to send and what he was not going to send.
Now, were there areas of documents, areas of his activities that he wanted to exclude in their entirety?
I mean, it's been 2 years. I didn't literally remember the specific documents. I mean, when we were all talking, some other people had said that specific types of documents that were from different parts of the country were being excluded.
You don't personally have any recollection of that?
I don't personally remember. I mean, it's been so long since, you know, Troy did so many different things. I mean, it was such a high-stress environment because you never knew what would set Troy off, what he would yell at you about. And, you know, I honestly don't remember the exact documents that he said, hey, you know, this isn't going to be no, this isn't something that they need. But I do remember him specifically picking out different stuff that he thought wasn't necessary to send for whatever reason he felt.
Okay. Do you know, do you have any knowledge as far as what was actually turned over to the government?
I have no idea. Okay. One thing that when I was in Florida, the box truck had all of the documents in it, and we had it parked out in front of Troy's house, and he flipped out on us because he didn't want the box truck with the documents to be associated with the house that he was living in.
What was he afraid of?
I have no idea.
Was he a paranoid kind of guy?
Oh, everything. It didn't matter what it was. Someone was either trying to do something to go against him, or it seemed like everything you did, you had to do it on eggshells, because you never knew if this was going to be something that would offend Troy or that would make him feel uncomfortable, or everything about his life, he sent that he was like the victim and kind of trying to, you know, I don't know if he was, not that he was scared, but he was just, I don't know what I'm saying, just more that he was very paranoid about anything that happened.
Now, did you ever come to know an individual named Richard Hack?
Yes.
What was Richard Hack's role in all of this?
His physical role, I don't know. Just from what I saw and experienced, so for example, Troy would go off the deep end or fire someone. At one point, I stayed a couple nights at the loft that Richard Hack was living in. Troy was mad at me for something. I was supposed to stay at his house, and you know, Richard kind of softened it. Like, you know, this is what Troy does. He's just kind of testing you. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be good. You know, Troy, you know, and I kind of questioned something about Troy's money or whatever. He's like, oh, Troy's always had money. He's a very successful business person. And just stick around and it will be worth it to you. I mean, not in quotes. I mean, roughly that's what he said.
You know anything about the relationship between Troy and Richard Hack?
I never physically saw anything physical between the two of them. Just one time Troy sat us all down and kind of in a, just opening up, I guess, to us. He said that Richard Hack was his first male relationship. Not that, I don't know if it was sexual, but he did say it was his first kiss. Richard Hack was his first kiss.
Now, the total time that you were involved with Stratus would have been the last part of December 2006 through about what time?
Either the end of March or middle of April, around there. I don't really. I probably have a record of when I flew back from Florida in an email that, I mean, just because you get an itinerary. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have that somewhere, but I don't know the exact day. Whenever I flew back from Florida, it was just a couple days that I went up to the house and then stopped going to work until we got paid.
Now, during this period of 4 months, 5 months, whatever it was, you were actually employed by a business, right?
Supposedly.
Okay.
Well, that's what he made it sound out like it was to be. We were supposed to get insurance. They were supposed to set up all this stuff. The documentation, Sam was getting the documentation all together for our health insurance and all this other stuff. We never had a signed contract, but Troy said, I want to employ you as an employee.
An employee of himself personally or the business?
The business.
And what was the business? Was it Next Level Media?
Next Level Media. And you know, Sherry was the accounting, Sam was the HR guy, so if we had any HR problems, we'd go to him. And, you know, I had different titles throughout my 3 months because we got, you know, Troy was so volatile.
Well, this business, while you were there, did you see anything that actually appeared to be business?
No.
Did it actually do any business that you knew of?
No.
What did you see?
Troy had ideas. Got ideas for, you know, making a movie, some crazy place where kids would go and inhale clear, you know, pure oxygen and listen to music and make demo tapes and O2 water or something, and all these different huge ideas that he said he was, you know, that we're going to be part of this business. He has a huge announcement coming. He's going to Dubai to do something. He was always going to Dubai every week, and then something would come up where he couldn't go to Dubai, and it was just a big joke around the office that, or the house, I guess, that, you know, oh, when's Troy going to go to Dubai next?
Did he spend a lot of money?
Yeah, lots of money.
Doing what?
He would take us all out to dinner. You know, Ruth's Chris was an expensive steakhouse. We would go to the movies. He'd pay for everyone, not just the people that he brought. He would pay concessions for everyone in the movie, like in line at the time. We'd go anywhere. He'd, like a valet, just give him $100, you know, throwing just money around everywhere.
Did you ever see anything that would suggest to you that this business was bringing in any money?
We got paid for a while, so there was money coming from somewhere.
As you sit here today, do you have any idea where the money came from?
No. I mean, I assume from what I've heard that it was Nicole's money. But I don't know that for 100%.
Now, you say that at some point in time, the money stopped?
Yep. The whole time we were in Florida, we still should have been getting paychecks. And Sherry would call. He would say, okay, I'm sending it tomorrow. Oh, there's something with the bank, and the money's coming in, and there's always something going on. And so the last three weeks that I was in Florida, that's when I didn't get paid. Up until that point, I did get paid.
Did other people get paid?
Yeah.
Did other people, at the end of things, not get paid?
Everyone didn't get paid at the end.
And how long a period of time was it the same for everybody, like the last 3 weeks?
Yeah.
They got paid?
As far as I know, I think it's pretty much the same period of time people weren't getting paid. I don't know, because I think there was a couple weeks that I didn't, or a week or so that I didn't go up to the house or work just because there wasn't something to do. So Troy just said, don't come up to the house. And I was up there. Sam was going to Florida. And jokingly, I just said, hey, Troy, do you need any help? You know, and he's like, yeah, come along. No.
Do you feel like that the business that you were involved with actually was a business, or do you think it was more of a front?
Oh, it was a scam. It was a front for Troy to make himself feel like he was important. I mean, Troy never directly got money from me, but just me spending money by travel. I did spend a couple $100 on getting pictures scanned and things like that. I think it was like $4,200 of reimbursements that I didn't get reimbursed for from a business that didn't exist. So, and then, you know, that was like $9,000 in hourly wages or something.
You think Troy's an honest person?
No. He's a liar who hates liars.
Is there anything that I have not asked you that you think I should have asked you? Anything that you want to address that I've not given you an opportunity to address?
Not that I can recollect at the moment. I mean, the only thing is, I mean, I technically just did miscellaneous stuff. I was kind of an assistant to Troy doing odds and ends. So I never really talked to anyone on the phone that had to do with outside business. And I figured, oh yeah, Sherry and Sam, they're doing something in their offices. I figured something was going on, but as long as I was getting $1,000 a week, I was just like, well, I'll just stick it out as long as it happens. And it appears that he has a lot of money, so what can it hurt?
Anybody offer you anything, threaten you with anything to get you to make this statement?
No.
You feel intimidated in any way?
No.
You know what perjury is?
Yes.
You understand that you, in making a sworn statement, you have an obligation to tell the truth?
Yes.
Well, based upon your understanding of the requirement that you tell the truth, would you swear or affirm that the statements that you've made here as they're commemorated on the tape are true and correct to the best of your knowledge and belief?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that'll conclude the statement of Matthew Antrobus. The time is now 8:45 in the evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you.